What a sacrifice Jesus made for you and I. Amen. Like I mentioned earlier, if you feel led, just go up and kneel. Whatever you want on there. Like I said, I experienced freedom already. No money back guarantees because we're not selling anything, right? Amen. But if you put your faith to something, praise God. You know, God will do something big. And we're excited. Okay. We're talking about 39 stripes, 3 nails, and 1 cross. This is part 2. And what the Lord kind of spoke into my heart, this is a freedom service. A freedom service where, you know, God wants to see us set free. Remember, we named this year, 2026, as shedding shackles and running free, right? God wants to experience freedom, especially this year. I believe that he has some good things. So as we're looking at this, you know, I want to mention the power of redemption is a life-changing story. You know, it's a story about God, a God that loved his creation so much that he had to go to great lengths just to purchase them back from the mess that we got ourselves into. You know, there's a hero in the story, and his name's Jesus, and he sacrificially paid the ransom with his own life. And the fruit of redemption is freedom. That's what redemption does. And freedom is what Jesus offers us today. The passage we started with last week, we're just going to share one scripture, then I'm going to share a few. I'm not going to put up on the screen. I assume you have your Bibles with you, right? Amen. All right, writing stuff down. Praise God. That's how we learn things. We remember better, right? So Exodus 15:26, it says, "And he said, if you give earnest heed," that means you pay attention, "to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians." Then it says, "For I, the Lord, am your healer." And last week we looked at the idea that that's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Now, remember, Jesus is the fulfillment of all the names of God, right? I didn't go into that last week, but I just want to mention that. He's Jehovah Rapha, and the Lord is our healer. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for a special stirring today in each of our hearts, Lord, that we want freedom. Lord, this freedom service where we're going to lay the things down that are holding us back from your best, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we come against any barricades or barriers that is hindering us from walking in that freedom. Lord God, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to be here today. I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And I ask you stir the gift inside of me, and I use it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, just a small little recap on this, is we talked about divine health and divine healing, right? So we walk in divine health, and that means that we need to exercise wisdom. We need to walk in covenant with our God, right? That means we have a supernatural relationship with a supernatural God, and it's not that hard. It's just walking in a living, loving relationship with him, knowing that he wants us to be able to have intimacy with him. And through that, we draw strength from God. And we can walk in divine healing and divine health. So then after we walk in divine health, maybe sometimes there's some flare-ups in life. So that's where divine healing comes in. And divine healing manifests two ways, the prayer of faith. We can also see the gifts of the Spirit, the gift of healing in operation. You know, all these things are there. God made provision. Because remember, we talked about the idea that we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body, right? We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. And the spirit, when Eve and Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, spiritual death happened. We died spiritually. We did not cease to exist. It just meant that we have spiritual death. Spiritual death is separation from God. Okay? Well, good news. Jesus healed that at the cross. Amen? He took that upon him, that separation. Remember when he said, "My God, why have you forsaken me? He experienced that separation, and then he rose from the dead, and now we have that newness of life. Okay, then also their soul, we have soul issues. You know, that's emotional problems. You got guilt, shame, anxiety, all these different things that are working inside our soul. Well, Jesus also healed those. And so when we go to him for healing, he can bring restoration to our soul. You know, the Bible says we're working out the salvation of our soul with fear and trembling. See, when you're born again, you're as saved as you're going to get as far as spiritually, because that's what's made brand new, because we're a spirit being. But our soul, which is our personality, our mind, our will, and emotions, that's still a little bit messed up, right? I don't know about you. My soul, some of it got kind of saved immediately. You know, I started thinking differently. But there were still some issues in my life. Now, maybe I was the only one. I don't think so. That's why we need to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's why we stay in the Word of God. That's what we get in there, because we're still working out. And I've been at this for 40 plus years, and I'm still getting fixed. There's a lot of stuff that we have to deal with. Amen? And that's okay, because I got time. And then, lastly, is our body. And our body, you know, we were created to live forever. And then sin happened in the Garden of Eden. And that's where death was introduced, shall we say, to mankind. And that death came, like I said, spiritual death and soul death. We had issues. And then also physical death. And so what Jesus did there, we know that he went to the cross and then he went to the grave, but then he didn't stay there. God rose him from the dead. And it was a physical resurrection. That's important to understand. Anybody can say, oh yeah, he rose spiritually. Well, you can't prove that, can you? How do you prove? You know, that's why, you know, like reincarnation and all this stuff, I mean, they're just hoping for the best there, you know what I'm saying? There's no proof of that. Well, they can have a deja vu experience all they want. I mean, could have been pizza from last night, you know, you get those kind of dreams or whatever. But Jesus proved it when he rose from the dead. And he is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. So all these things were part because God did not want to lose anything to the devil. Spirit, soul, and body made a plan, a way to bring redemption. And just briefly, I asked you several questions last week, and basically it all came down to the fact, is it God's will to heal? Acts 10:38 says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So we see there the power of Jesus Christ and what he wants to do. It's his will. We don't have to doubt. You know, if you're praying for healing, never, ever tack on at the end, if it be thy will. You know what I mean? Because Scripture explicitly points out that healing is God's will. It never says it's not. So we never add on that disclaimer. You know, sometimes we do that. You know, make it easy on ourselves to get an easy out. Oh, if it be thy will, God. Now, granted, there's some things, you know, if you're going to marry somebody, you might want to pray, Lord, is this your will? Yeah, how many know you marry a wrong one? That's a long haul. That's a problem, ain't it? You know, you want to get a good one. I'm praise God, I got a good one. And I know all of you guys did too, right? Look at each other and say, you're a good one. Amen? I didn't hear nobody say that. So now that was talking about the 39 stripes. So we're going to jump into some new territory right now. So we're going to look at three nails. You know, some questions that some people have, especially some other religions, why they started their own religion, I guess, is how could a loving God allow his son to die on a cross? You know, that's a tough question, isn't it? I mean, there's sometimes I probably would have liked to nail my kids to a cross, but I didn't do it just because I didn't want to go to jail. Right? I didn't want to have to go to jail. But here we see the idea, what it means, you know, a loving God. See, Jesus dying on the cross was the only way to bridge the gap between humanity and holiness. Because God is a holy God and we are not, right? In our own, you know, ways of way we act, you know, we're not holy. But through God, we become that way when we get sanctified by Him. And so what I see is true love is willing to sacrifice the one for the many. And that's what our Heavenly Father did. He gladly sacrificed Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ also was a willing sacrifice because He thought that you and I were worth it. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever felt like you're worth it? You know, some people struggle with self-worth issues. They just don't think they're good enough. You know, that's just a lie from the devil. It's maybe lies that have been spoken over you your whole life, maybe the way that the world has treated you, all these things, because, you know, fact of the matter, friends, the world hates you. Now that you're a Christian, the last thing the world system wants you to do is succeed. It doesn't want you to be a strong and vibrant Christian walking in the life of God. It wants to hold you back and hold you down. But see, Jesus Christ thought we was worth it. Now, I don't know about you, have you ever bought something and then you had buyer's remorse? You're probably thinking of something right now. I can think of a couple things in my life. Right after I bought it, bummer. You know what I mean? Why did I buy that? That was a waste of money. You know, this thing's a piece of junk. Whatever. But I tell you that, Jesus Christ did not have buyer's remorse when He went to the cross for you and I. As a matter of fact, He would do it again if He had to. That's how much our God loves His creation. And we need to settle that in our heart, that we understand that love. Now, with saying that, a lot of people sometimes, you know, think that God's not a holy God. He is. So we have to walk hand in hand. You got love and holiness, you know, grace and holiness. You know, so to me, grace is not an excuse for mistakes. Grace is a way that gives us the power to overcome. And we need to be able to overcome the world. See, the world does not need another love song. See, we struggle with what true love really looks like. I mean, that's why they write all these songs all the time. You know, love hurts, love stinks, you know, all those. Love will keep us together. You know, Captain Tennille, remember all those, you know. You know, but the world does not need another love song. The world needs to see godly Christian demonstration of love. That's what we need to do, to have a godly demonstration of love to a world. And what does that look like? Sometimes we don't know what that looks like. Well, when you look at Jesus, we see love. How did Jesus treat sinners? How did Jesus go out and intermingle with the masses? He was there because His primary thing, granted, He wanted to bring them to repentance, but He wanted to pick them up and not put them down. And that's what we need to do. We need to go out and try to bring people into the kingdom of God, because God is a loving God. Now, when it comes to three nails, Psalms 22:16 says, "For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encompassed me." Well, that there's talking about the Romans. They weren't the nicest guys, you know what I mean, back in the day. Then it said the Roman soldiers. And it says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." Now, that's an important thing for us to remember. As a matter of fact, that's the one thing that helped Doubting Thomas overcome his doubt in life. Right? And we see that in Luke 24:39-40, he was trying to get people to understand, people who kind of doubted. It says, "See my hands and my feet. That is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Like I mentioned earlier, the proof of the glorified body was physical resurrection. That's the kind of body you and I are going to have when we race, you know, after we die. And we get it, well, you know, when we come back with Christ, we get that glorified body. It's a body that's unique. You can touch it and feel it. Now, granted, it's been understood that Jesus Christ will probably be the only one that has blemishes on his glorified body. That's a symbol of the sacrifice. The holes in his hands and the holes in his feet. And the power of that glorified body for all to see, because the Bible says there's going to come a time, and I, you know, this is one of, going to be one of my favorite days, is that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the day when the Lord Jesus Christ gets the final and final acknowledgement of who he really is and what he's really done. Many people miss that now. They don't really go that far, and they can't really accept that. But that's when everybody's going to see, because it says every knee's going to bow. And so what we see also from the three nails, there's a couple symbology things we're going to look at. You know, three is the symbol of the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What I see is when they nailed Jesus' feet, that was a picture of the Father, because the Father is the foundation. And when they nailed his hands, each of his hands, that was a symbol of the Son and the Holy Spirit, because they came to serve. Jesus said he came to serve. The Holy Spirit's job is a ministry. He came to work through us. That's what he wants to do. The Holy Spirit loves to find a home where he can actually go and do things. Are we going to be that person? Are we going to be that people that the Holy Spirit can work through? You know, a lot of times we just think the Holy Spirit is here like to give us goosebumps. Like when we come up and pray for people, oh, wow, I really felt the Holy Spirit. Or maybe it's during our song service, we're lifting our hands and we say, oh, wow, I really felt the Holy Spirit. Yes, that is an awesome feeling. We need a touch from the Holy Spirit. But you know when I want to feel the Holy Spirit? Is when I'm out ministering to people. When I'm out helping people. When I'm out serving people, when I'm out preaching the gospel to people, I want to feel the Holy Spirit working through me, because my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what God wants for us to have. And it's not just for a select few, it's for everybody. That's the glory of what the God's plan. I mean, who would have thought? You know, Jesus Christ left, and oh my gosh, Jesus left. What are we going to do now? I mean, the disciples were lost until, everybody say until the Holy Spirit was poured out. And then the Holy Spirit came and lived inside his people. And now we have that comforter with us every step of the way. Anytime we want, he is here with us. And we thank God for that, the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's been said before that no nails were really needed for Jesus, because his love would have held him there, and that's probably true. You know, but there were three nails nonetheless. Now, what I see also from that is the fact when they nailed him to the cross, they nailed his feet and his arms, spread him wide. To me, I see the picture of Jesus' arms open wide saying, come all who will have me, come to me. So that's a picture of what we need to be. Our arms need to stay open wide, ready to welcome those who are seeking a Savior. We need to be that people. We need to be the people, we need to be facilitators, trying to assist, because the Holy Spirit's working through us, trying to bring people to that place. I thank God for the people in my life when I was coming to Christ, because it took me a little bit of while to get there. It wasn't a quick journey for me. It was a progressive thing where I was starting to seek God and I was coming to God, and then God would bring people into my life, and you know, they would love on me and they would encourage me and they would challenge me. And then through that process of time, it finally brought me to the place at the foot of the cross. That's where I met my Savior, the one who set me free. And that is when I made Jesus Christ the Lord and master of my life. I surrendered to him. And that was a powerful moment in my life. So we need to stay open. You know, Jesus was nailed on the cross for 6 hours. He hung there. And six is the number of man because we were created also on the sixth day. And it's a symbol of weakness, imperfection, frailty, and sin. That is why we need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot be able to get ourselves out of the predicament that Adam and Eve got us into. We're not capable. Nobody can save themselves. And that's why we need Jesus. And so the idea that what I like about the story of the cross, I mean, there's many things, but Jesus stayed on the cross and he stayed alive. I mean, he had been through a terrible ordeal. He had been up for hours. He was beaten beyond recognition. He had to carry his own cross through the streets and finally to the place where he was so exhausted. I think a man named Rufus come and helped him carry it the rest of the way. Then finally he got to the place of Golgotha and they laid him down and they drove those nails into his feet and into his hands. And then he was exhausted. But as many people know, we've shared before, the reason why you die on a cross is from suffocation. Is that when you are so exhausted, your legs cannot, that's why the Romans nail the feet, is because the Romans didn't want you to die quick. They wanted suffering. That's the kind of people they were, the Roman soldiers back then. So they would nail their feet and they would give them a little room. They wouldn't just stretch them out, but they bend their knees just a skosh so the person could push up. Because when you're on a cross, you die from suffocation. When you allow yourself to go down, the pressure is so much on your lungs that you can't breathe anymore. And you die from suffocation. That's why at the end, when the Sabbath was coming, the Roman soul, Jesus had already expired. But the other two people on the cross by Jesus, they broke their legs. Why? So they couldn't push up anymore. And so they suffocated. But Jesus stayed alive for 6 hours, even in his weakened condition, because he wanted to pay the total price of redemption. Paid in full. He didn't want to do a partial payment. Has anybody ever made any partial payments before? You don't have enough to pay it all, but Jesus did. He stayed alive. Remember, at the end, he said, "It is finished. It is finished." The final payment for redemption paid in full. See, Jesus did not do a partial payment for our redemption, and then we have to pay the rest in installments. He paid the full debt, and that's the confidence that you and I have. That's why we put our faith in him and what he did. So now we're going to head to the cross of Christ. You know, the three nails. And there's a couple of scriptures we're going to look at here that are very powerful, and hopefully it'll get us to think about some things going on in our life. Colossians chapter 2, 13 and 14 says, "When you were dead," now, how can you be dead and you're alive? Dead spiritually. See how that works? Spiritual death doesn't mean you cease to exist. It just means separation from God. Okay, so it says, "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh," there's so much covenant terminology in here, it's just so much, but we're not going to cover it all today. Then it says, "He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Okay. The cross of Christ takes our negative things in life and turns them into a positive. Total turnaround. He takes our weakness and turns it into strength. Let the weak say they're strong. To me, the cross of Christ is the greatest debt cancellation tool ever invented. Many people today are trying to sell debt cancellations tool because there's so many people in debt. But the cross of Christ was the best because it took away the power of sin. See, whatever sin is in our life that is holding us in bondage, nail it to the cross. That's where it goes. We nail it to the cross because we cannot deal with that ourselves. That's why Jesus Christ came. Matthew 16:24 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must do whatever he wants when he wants to." No, it didn't say that, did it? It says he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There is a portion that we pay, that we are part of, that sometimes we just have to say no. How many know it's easier to say no to somebody else than it is to say no to yourself? Have you ever had that problem? It's easy to tell your kids no or tell somebody else no. But our flesh doesn't like it when we say no. I'm not letting you do that no more. So what we see here from this passage, what we got to do, we have to do several things. Number one, we deny ourselves. That means our carnal nature and passions, we all have it. Just because we're born again doesn't mean that old nature is totally gone. It's still there and it tries to creep up every now and then, tries to crop up. And people, that's just normal. That's normal that you and I have to deal with that. So don't get down on yourself and beat yourself up over it. You know, man up and deny yourself, praise God. Take up your cross. That doesn't mean I don't have long enough nails here today to nail people to that cross. But that's not what it's talking about when you take up your cross. See, the cross is a symbol of obedience. That was Jesus Christ's will for his life. He was born for one reason, and that was to go to the cross to pay the price for all mankind so we don't have to. Now, you were born, and God has a purpose for your life, whatever that may be. I don't know what yours is, but you might. And if you don't, you need to seek and find out. But that means that sometimes we need to deny ourselves of what we want to do, take up our cross, and go do what God says we should be doing. Believe me, that's where you're going to find fulfillment. That's where you're going to find fulfillment. Is in the center of God's will. I'm not saying you can't be happy every now and then out of God's will. A lot of people are out of God's will and they think they're happy. They don't have joy. The joy of the Lord. But they might be happy. Happiness that maybe money thinks it can buy. Or happiness that maybe a relation thinks it will help. But those things are fleeting. They're not lasting. Other than being in the center of God's will. After you deny yourself, then you take up that. That means you grab a hold of God's will for your life. And I, like I say, seek God about it. Now, don't wear yourself out about it. You know, I've ran into a lot of people in life, I just want to know God's will. And they're exhausted. They just exhaust themselves trying to find God's will. Just do what you know to do. Just do what the Word says. God will reveal it to you. Believe me. God wants you to know His will. He's not up there playing hide and seek. You know what I'm saying? God wants you to know. He wants you to fulfill the plan of that He has for your life. Then it says something that we need to choose. Then we have to follow. So deny, take up, and follow. Meaning fix your eyes on Jesus and follow Him no matter where it leads you. And like I said, it's good. No matter where, if Jesus is leading you somewhere, believe me, it is a good place. Well, it may be a place of growth. Sometimes growth can be painful, right? But growing's good. Praise God for that. when we grow in the Lord. This is my signature scripture. I write it in all my Bibles, and I was going to get a tattoo about it, but I decided not to. Like I said, I went down to Lake Rathbun in the summer, and I watched them old people have tattoos, how they all sagged. So I know I'm not going to put one on me. That's just my thinking, but anybody can do what they want. But Galatians 2:20 says, and I every now and then I come back to this scripture because it centers me. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is I no longer who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Meaning that I, Brad Gray, have been crucified with Jesus Christ. It goes back to what I said last week. He died for me, and I died with him. Simple as that. That's the mindset we got to get into. See, our mind is very powerful. What controls us? What are we thinking about? You know, some people say, he died for me, now I can go do what I want. There's no victory there. No victory in that mindset. But when we say, he died for me, and I died with him, well, then there's a place of victory. That's a place of freedom. That's a place that leads us out of the bondages that we have, that we don't have to bow our knee again to the things that hold us back. That is one of the greatest feelings that you're going to have, is when you experience that freedom, that old sin, that old stinking thing that used to hold you back, and now you just stand on it. Amen. It's under your feet. You will never bow your knee to that again because the power of God is inside of you. Praise God. That's what it's about. Is walking in that power and walking in that freedom. So many times when looking at the cross, some people look at it backwards when we should be looking backwards at it. Meaning, you know, we look backwards by just kneeling at the cross. Some people just say, oh, I'll just kneel at the cross. I kneel at the cross. I kneel at the cross. You know, that's all cute. Get up, get on that cross. And then get off that cross and then raise up to that newness of life. That's what we got to do. We just don't kneel at the cross and hang out there. We deal with these things and be able to be set free. See, the cross of Christ produced the finished product. And we need that balanced approach. Some people spend their whole life dying to self when they should be coming alive in Christ. Don't be the pickle juice Christian who just can't have any fun anywhere. They spend so much time, you know, persecuting themselves and putting themselves down because they're so afraid. But arise to that newness of life. Let the life of Christ come in. Also, this may make some people stumble, but we do not worship the cross. But we do worship the one who hung on the cross. Basically, my friends, the cross was a tool. It was an implement. It was something that God used to be able to purchase our redemption. We worship the one who's on a cross. Now we've been redeemed, spirit, soul, body. We've got to receive it by faith and walk in its fruit. See, the fruit of redemption is freedom. And that's what Jesus Christ wants for you and I. He wants us to be able to walk in that freedom, no longer in bondage, no longer having to surrender to something that is holding us back in life. He wants us to be free. Remember, 2026, shedding shackles and running free. Would you like to run with me today? Amen. Would you like to run free? Now, we're not going to run, believe me. We're not there yet, right? A couple of us might be, but I'm not one of them. But we're going to run free in Christ. Amen.